Hello all sentient beings and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review Transformers Issue 9. We learn more about Transformers Galaxies from San Diego Comic-Con, and the new Transformers Bumblebee Halloween costume transforms. Today is Friday, July 26, 2019, and this is episode 139 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that spans galaxies. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Yusuf, better known as Yoshi.
Yo!
Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how you doing? Let's talk Transformers, eh?
God. Oh, fuck.
Any closer to Daryl?
You live in motherfucking Wisconsin. You should be able to do it better than either one of us.
All right. Well, let's talk Transformers, don't you know?
Canadian Daryl, everybody.
Yes, we are without Daryl this week. If you listen to the toy show, you might have noticed. He will hopefully be back next week. Sadly, last minute thing, couldn't get him on, but we wish him well.
He's getting close to retirement age, though. He might not come back.
Prove him wrong, Daryl. Prove him wrong.
Prove it, you can't.
I'll be back every third episode again. Don't worry.
All right. As always, we start off with our donations, our Donatrions, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. We are eternally grateful to you for continuing to help us support the show. You're the reason we keep going. And if you would like to join the ranks of those Donatrions, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. This week, we want to highlight a special friend, Noah, who was already a Donatrion, but he has become an extra Donatrion because he has bumped up his pledge to become a duly appointed supporter of the Transmissions podcast. He also goes by Fireheart76 on our Discord server, so shout out to Fireheart76. Your memes are excellent. Thanks, and keep them coming. Also, if you would like to buy some merchandise from Transmissions, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And we've got lots of cool t-shirt designs, including some designed by friend of the show and awesome artist K-Girl, particularly the good guy and bad guy shirts that were, the concept was by Daryl. He made the original design and then, K-Girl made her artistic magic to make them look great. So it's really a great collaboration and awesome shirts. So you can check them out at our shop or at her shop, which is tpublic.com/user/superstarK. Also, this week we have Empire of Rust Episode 2, the first, best, and only Transformers RPG podcast. That's run by our editor and producer, Mike Ordway. So listen to Episode 2 of Empire of Rust. The action heats up. We get some heavy players, really important players join the guest stars come in there. And you get to know the party of these five Transformers who are coming together to take on the evil that has infested Cybertron. So
more importantly, we learn why he's no longer editing our main show.
He's only off this week. He's still doing it.
1 week turns into 2 weeks, which turns into forever.
Yeah, you'd know that better than anyone, right, Yoshi?
Oh, personal jab. Fuck.
All right, let's talk about comics and media related to Transformers and start off with some comics news. All right, well, we did have San Diego Comic-Con last week, and we actually have some comics news coming out of San Diego Comic-Con. That's a novel idea.
Wait, so we're not talking about the Marvel movies or the new Top Gun or Picard. We actually have comic news out of Comic-Con?
Yeah, it's a weird time to be alive. But yeah, so go to other podcasts for all the exciting stuff that Jeremy just mentioned. We are going to stay strictly focused on Transformers comics here. First up, the Transformers ongoing series is continuing. So the third arc of the series will start in issue 13. That's this fall. I believe it'll be September. So they're also going to stop the bi-monthly shipping for the main series. It will go to monthly because that second slot, so there will still be two Transformers books every month, but that second slot is going to be taken up by Transformers Galaxies. And Livio Remondelli was on hand to talk about his work on Transformers Galaxies. He's going to be drawing the first four issues, and those are going to be written by Tyler Blazinski, as we talked about earlier. I think you all have heard the interview I did with Livio at TFCon last week in last week's Alt Mode. And yeah, he talked about, you know, he talked a little bit about that at the panel. So Transformers Galaxies is an interesting series because it's harkens back to the Spotlights, where you're going to have shorter arcs that focus on just a smaller set of characters. So these first four issues are all about the Constructicons and how they fit into this new universe. We do have some covers, for this first arc by Casey Collar, Andrew Griffith, and Alex Milne. So that's cool. With Josh Perez on colors. Oh, also Nick Roche. Can't forget Nick Roche. So lots of our favorite artists.
Did.
Yeah, that's bad. That's my bad. but yeah, lots of our favorite artists doing covers for this series for this first four issues. Then the next two issues will be a two-issue story, issues 5 and 6, will focus on Cliffjumper, and that will be by Kate Leth and Cohen Edenfield, which is cool. Kate Leth has actually written on the Cyberverse TV show as well. She's written lots of other stuff. She's a big comics writer, so it's cool to get her continuing to dip her toe into the Transformers space. It's always nice to see writers from elsewhere coming and playing with Transformers. So I hope that Cliffjumper arc is interesting. The next arc is going to be issues 7 through 9, and that will focus on RC and Greenlight, and that will be written by Sam Maggs, and she was on the panel as well. And she talked about how this is going to focus on how RC and Greenlight are mentoring the newest Cybertronian that was forged right after Rubble. So basically, she's the newest Cybertronian. We saw a glimpse of her in one of the earlier issues of the ongoing. And so they're going to delve deep into, you know, basically how this young person is coming of age and having to choose a side, choose a faction as she's growing up as Cybertron is on the cusp of war. This also, I think, is it's nice to highlight. So we have an actual established couple in RC and Greenlight, so the continuing the idea of Transformer relationships. So that's something that was brought into the series in the previous continuity and is going to be continued here in the new series. Also, another tease they had was that there's going to be a focus on, I guess, some of the religious factions that are on Cybertron. I think they mentioned the reversionists who have been mentioned in the main series, and the character Heretech is going to make an appearance. So Heretech was created by James Roberts back in More Than Meets the Eye, but never really expanded upon. He was just kind of one of the evil Decepticons, one of the, one of Megatron's elite guard. I forget what it was called. Like they had a term for them, but we never really saw who he was or what he did, but I guess Heretech will become an interesting character here. And of course the name is a play on the term heretic, you know, for religious aspect. So pretty interesting. I'm curious to see where that's going to go. And then the last bit for Transformers Galaxies, we have issues 10 through 12, and that will focus on Ultra Magnus. And that will be written by Brandon Easton. So Brandon is already writing on the Transformers Netflix show, and now he's also writing for the IDW series and focusing on Ultra Magnus. And, of course, Brandon, like us, is a child of the 80s, so Ultra Magnus holds a special place in his heart, and it was cool to see he gets the chance to play with this character. So, Yoshi, I think you'll be looking forward to that.
Absolutely. I like that. I actually don't know how I wanted to phrase what I wanted to say, but I'm glad he's doing this. I collect his work. I think it's I think he's one of the better writers out there right now.
Cool.
I would like to see some kind of melding of the Robert Stack Unsolved Mysteries thing with Ultra Magnus and just have him going after these, like, you know, weird, like, conspiracies, or just, you know, have him be kind of a mystery hunter, maybe working with Nightbeat. I think that'd be fun, but that's just my speculation.
Well, we've got a little while to wait since that's issues 10 through 12. Mm-hmm. We won't see that till like late next year. So
yeah,
we'll keep on waiting.
I'm encouraged that they're throwing different writers at different aspects of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a while since we've had like an anthology type anything. And I like that.
Yep.
I also, during the panel, like when we were reading through, like notes, I think from Sabertron on the panel, there was some mention. I don't know if it was Brandon or if it was, Michael Kelly from Hasbro. Someone mentioned that this was tying in with the Netflix show in some way, but then it was never followed up on. And the video that we saw didn't mention that at all. Like, it was cut off before that. So I'm curious to see if it's going to tie in at all.
It was a Q&A. Like, someone asked Brandon, since he's writing for the Netflix show and this comic, are they going to tie in, or like, how are you keeping it straight? And Brandon said something like it's all one story. So yeah, I don't know exactly what that means. So we'll see how this is going to work.
Yeah.
All right. Just a little tidbit about the Transformers Ghostbusters crossover, because they did have Eric Burnham on the panel talking about how he's writing the comic. He said his favorite,
oh, he's fucking killing it.
his favorite character to write is Starscream. And he thinks he had trouble picturing Ectotron's voice, but then he thought of David Hyde Pierce. So that's Frasier's brother on the Frasier show. That's who you should think of as the voice of Ectotron. So for if there are any plans to turn this into an animated series, get David Hyde Pierce's number. Let's see. They also, oh yeah, the other big thing that's coming out, this will be out just next month, the Transformers 84 one shot. So this is Transformers 84 number 0. We got some teaser images. Friend of the show, John Paul Bove, who's actually going to be coloring this issue, put some teaser images up on his social media that were shown at the panel. This is written by Simon Furman with art by Guido Guidi and colors by John Paul Bove. And this is meant to be like a prequel to the Marvel Comics series that ties in both the US and the UK storylines. And of course, Simon Furman, veteran of both the US and UK Marvel Comics, he's the perfect person to write this. So I'm looking forward to this. And this art just looks gorgeous.
The only downside is it's only one issue?
Yeah, it's a one shot.
It's a one shot.
Yeah. That's the downside to it.
But maybe if you buy enough copies,
maybe
IDW will be incentivized to
put it in a hardback for us.
Yep. All right. This was the Hasbro IDW panel, so they do have other Hasbro stuff. So there's G.I. Joe and ROM. New G.I. Joe and new ROM books are coming. That's nice. Chris Ryle is going to write the ROM book, so I'm sure he's excited about that. but yeah, so that's all the Transformers news out of SDCC, or Transformers Comics news, I should say. So let's move on to our Transformers comic review.
Bow, ba, down, ba, bow.
Never gets
happy
old.
That's a thing.
All right. Today we are reviewing Transformers number 9. So this was out last week, right before SDCC. So Transformers number 9, The Cracks Beneath Your Feet, part 3, written by Brian Ruckley, art by Angel Hernandez, most of the issue, and Anna Malkova, pages 4, 5, and 10. So Angel Hernandez did the other 17 pages of the issue. Colors by Joanna LaFuente. Letters by Tom B. Long. Editors David Marriott and Tom Waltz. We have three covers. The first cover is a very misleading cover that shows lots of characters who are not in the issue. We've got Sentinel Prime, Starscream, Nautica. And then at the bottom, we've got Hound, Bumblebee, and Optimus Prime, or Orion Pax, in their little head busts there. We've even got Sentinel Prime in his, I guess, spaceship mode there. This is art by Umi Miao. Cover B is by Priscilla Tramontano. It shows Prowl and Chromia as they continue their investigation. Looks pretty cool. And then...
Is that Freud in the foreground?
I believe so, yeah. They want answers from Freud about his psychological practices. And the retailer incentive cover is a G1-esque scene of Cyclonus and the Sweeps pulling Galvatron out of the plasma bath that fried his circuits and drove him crazy in season 3 of the G1 cartoon. And this is art by Guido Guidi. A very awesome G1 throwback there.
Dude, you're going to spoil people on your pick.
They know.
Oh.
Well, let's ask you, Yoshi, first. I'm sure that I know what you're going to pick. So which cover is your favorite here?
You're so sure I'm going to let you pick it for me.
The retailer incentive Guido Guidi cover.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
How about you, Jeremy?
I also think the Guido cover is the best. But I'm wondering about that cover A, as you mentioned, the characters not in the book. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that was really supposed to be for a later issue, because, like, I think we're getting Starscream next issue, so maybe it was just something where they had to move it, or...
Well, I think this issue got switched with the next issue, because the solicits advertised that all these characters were going to show up in this issue, and it's completely different.
So there was some mix-up somewhere.
Yeah, it's, yeah, completely different. I will make it unanimous and pick the Guido Guidi cover also. That's the best cover of the bunch here. I think the other two covers are quite nice as well.
Yeah.
I still don't like the eyes on the Umi Miao cover. Those eyes are unsettling to me, but the art is nice and the colors are nice. Just don't like the eyes.
Yeah. And I mean, cover B also, I think it's a really good image. It's just when you're up against Guido.
Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into the story for Transformers number 9. After getting the tip from Cyclonus last issue of suspicious activity at the War of the Threefold Spark Memorial Site, Chromia, Windblade, and Sideswipe take a hover transport to investigate. As they land, Chromia orders Windblade and Sideswipe to unload their weapons while she contacts Geomotus on her holo communicator. Geomotus is uncomfortable coming on another mission with Chromia, but he does have some information about the data he found last time. The fissures he found are the result of a major but shallow and crude excavation, so it looks like the Rise has been creating secret underground bases that no one was aware of. Back in the city, Prowl continues his investigation into Brainstorm's and Rubble's murders. He catches up with Headlock, an old black market trader known for dealing with aliens like the recently murdered Voyne Scavenger. Prowl does his best bad cop performance to shake down Headlock for information, but the aggressive approach isn't necessary. Headlock's more than willing to give up what he knows, in fact he already did, to Prowl's colleague in the security forces, Barricade. This comes as a surprise to Prowl, since Barricade never shared the info he gathered. At the memorial, Windblade has found an open hatch leading to the Rise's hideout. Chromia sends in probe droids to scan the area, but they immediately shut down when sent into the hideout. There must be an anti-comms dampening field installed, so they'll have to go in blind. Chromia orders Sideswipe to stand guard topside while she and Windblade descend and investigate. Deeper in the base, three bots are monitoring the intruders as they enter the hideout. Sixshot is annoyed with his companions Flame War and Shadow Striker for compromising their location. Sixshot casually punches Flame War across the mouth in his anger and frustration, knocking her back. Next time, wait for orders before attacking someone sniffing around their base, he sneers. He turns to Shadow Striker to continue his tirade, but she warns him not to give her the same treatment he gave Flame War, or he'll regret it and lose some body parts. Shadow Striker confirms that the rest of their team has already evacuated, so no one else will be exposed. But that's not good enough for Sixshot. He wants to burn this hideout to ash and destroy any evidence of their presence. And they have to deal with the security forces sniffing around. He orders Shadow Striker to set the explosives to destroy the base and sends Flame War to the surface to block anyone's escape before the place blows. Sixshot will deal with the intruders. Chromia is shocked by the scale and organization present in this hideout. They had no idea the Rise was so well organized and had access to this level of resources. They even have equipment for receiving energon transmissions from orbit. But who would be sending the Rise, a radical borderline terrorist organization, energon supplies from off-world? Maybe they'll be able to find out, since the tech the Rise stole is equipped with monitoring and logging hardware. If they can jack in, they can get records of all the energon transmissions. Windblade runs topside to get the tech they need to hack into the system's logs and extract the data they need. While Chromia holds her position, but she's not alone. Meanwhile, in Iacon, at the Ascenticon headquarters, Bumblebee is surprised to see a large influx of new recruits for the Ascenticon Guard. Alita 1 comments that the rising tensions are pushing a lot more bots to see that change is needed, and they're flocking to the Ascenticons. And Bumblebee gets another shock when he sees Security Officer Barricade among the new recruits. Bumblebee is incredulous that Barricade would leave Security to join the Ascenticons, especially with how little the Ascenticons trust the Security Forces. Bumblebee doesn't understand how Barricade has been so easily accepted into the fold, while he had to practically beg Soundwave to let him in. Barricade just shrugs and smiles knowingly. At the memorial, Windblade returns to the surface to grab the data access device and quickly returns underground to meet back up with Chromia. After she's gone, Sideswipe turns to see Flame War there to greet him. Sideswipe points his weapon at her and tells her to stop right there. Flame War casually asks if his weapon is a thermal lance. Sideswipe is thrown off a bit and answers yes, it is. Flame War replies, she's got that beat, and lives up to her name with twin flamethrowers shooting out of her arms. Sideswipe is caught off guard and gets thoroughly blasted. Underground, Chromia is ambushed by Sixshot. As he fires at her, she takes cover and tries to reason with him and talk him down. But Sixshot is not listening. He tosses an energy grenade her way and Chromia barely escapes it. The blast stuns her and Sixshot is ready to deliver a final blow. But before he can act, an energy sword stabs him through the chest from behind. Sixshot roars, more in anger than pain, and knocks his attacker, Windblade, off her feet. Over the announcement system, Shadow Striker announces the countdown is at bang minus 5, so Sixshot knows it's time to go. He tosses another grenade behind him as he retreats down the corridor, with Windblade's sword still embedded through his chest. Windblade is still trying to recover from being knocked down, but Chromia has come to her senses enough to push herself and Windblade out of the grenade's path as it explodes. Chromia tells Windblade she only has seconds to download whatever info she can before the countdown expires, while she goes after Sixshot. She chases Sixshot through the base to find a shuttlecraft about to take off from a secret hangar that has just opened up to the surface. Sixshot tells Shadow Striker piloting the shuttle to take off while he transforms to his jet mode and follows close behind. Chromia fires on the fleeing crafts, but they're quickly out of range. On the surface, Sideswipe is still pinned under cover from Flame War's assault. But as she sees her companion escape in the air, Flame War takes the cue to transform to her cycle mode and drive off, leaving Sideswipe alone as he fires his weapon futilely behind her. Finally, Chromia emerges from the underground hideout. She asks, where's Windblade? But Sideswipe saw her go back underground some time ago. Before they can contemplate further, the ground beneath them begins to rumble ominously. Suddenly, the entire area of the memorial is engulfed in a massive explosion. Debris is thrown everywhere. One piece of fiery debris turns out to be Windblade, who somehow managed to survive the blast and was thrown clear. As she struggles to recover, she cradles the data extractor with info on the Rise's energon transmissions in her hands. To be continued. So, I'm even more sad now that Daryl wasn't here, because I think this is the action and excitement that he was looking for in this book. I think this was a significant step up for me in the series. I think this was it still is a a middle chapter, but I think it's a really nice action set piece here. We've got they're going to investigate the secret base. We've got the appearance of Sixshot, who we hadn't seen before, so he's clearly another antagonist. We've got some foreshadowing of, you know, mentions of a larger structure behind the rise, this organization, and, you know, who the big boss is there. I just thought it was a well-crafted issue after, you know, waiting for something interesting to happen. I think we got something interesting in this issue. And, despite the solicits being completely different from what we were expecting to get. Angel Hernandez's art is still not my cup of tea. I mean, I think it's better here. I think he does the action scenes well here. I still feel like it's not quite detailed enough for me. Like the characters, I don't think, get the care that they need. And maybe that's also down to the schedule. Cause I know that since they're doing bi-weekly, or bi-monthly, I should say, it's a difficult schedule to maintain, but I think the art needs more work. It's a step up for me. I think that doesn't erase the, you know, it took us 8 issues to get here, but I like that more action-y things are happening here.
Do you think that maybe, you know, you said earlier that the issues were moved around. Do you think maybe the reason the solicits didn't match is because they realized they needed a little bit more action and they reordered the issues?
That's definitely a possibility. I mean, I hope that means there's some recognition that the pace needs to be stepped up here. I mean, I know, unfortunately, the downside to that is probably the next issue is going to slow things down again. So,
right. But I mean, after an action heavy issue, you normally get a slower issue as they process. And then, you know, it's supposed to kind of, you know, as you go along in the story, it's supposed to amp up.
Yeah.
So,
but then, but also, that means we might not get any follow up on what happened. Like the fate of Chromia and Sideswipe is left ambiguous here. So we don't know if they were killed or just heavily damaged or if they somehow managed to escape this explosion. And then, you know, Windblade is probably injured as well, but, you know, she's got some critical data that we might want to get a look at. So I wonder if all those plot threads are going to be suspended for the issue that we were supposed to get this month or this week for the next time. But we'll see, I guess. So, Jeremy, what did you think of this issue overall?
I mean, we had battles, we had fights, we had a transformation. A lot of things that we've been complaining about were here. I enjoyed it. I particularly thought the pacing of this was pretty good. You have like the mystery of the hidden base. You're starting to see where people are kind of settling with like Barricade. And I mean, knowing how things are going to fall with like Autobots, Decepticons later down the line, you're starting to see some pieces fall into place, but then you also have like Bumblebee with the Ascenticons, which you know is not going to last long term. But I really enjoyed a lot of the stuff about this. The art, as you mentioned, is still not the best, but I will agree during the action scenes, I thought it was, a lot better than what we've seen. I especially liked Flame War's alt mode here that essentially like her head kind of becomes the front of this motorcycle, where if you're thinking of a society where they don't have to have any mechanism for someone to ride on them because they're just, you know, there's no one that would ride on them.
Right.
So it's a neat kind of interpretation of a motorcycle alt mode as just a means to quickly, you know, get from one place to another. So I like that. And this kind of bumped up my, you know, opinion of the series. And as I've been saying, I like a lot of the ideas presenting. Just the pacing has been really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that they're realizing this and they're trying to take steps to improve the pacing as we go along. I mean, we'll have to see, but I mean, for one issue, I thought this was a big improvement.
All right. Yoshi, what are your thoughts?
You know, I think I'm going to sound just a little bit like Daryl. I really struggled reading this one. And I don't know how else to put it. Maybe it was too many big words for me. But yeah, I personally struggled reading through it. It took me way too long. And I don't know what to say here without sounding like a horrible broken record. I don't feel like any of the interior artists, are agreeing on what character models to be referencing when they're drawing. And that, I don't know if that's just an issue of having multiple artists who have different takes, or they're just not agreeing on the character models.
I know that's been an issue in the past, particularly with Bumblebee and like whatever it is on the side of his face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One artist do it completely different.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, I mean, if you're going to commit to a reboot with different designs, then withhold a paycheck if they're not doing the job. Like this, I don't understand that.
Well, I think at least it seems like the mandate is to use the toy designs, but we don't have a Siege Bumblebee, so they don't have a Bumblebee to reference.
But still,
but like, they should have a character Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, saying this is how we want this character to look.
Yeah.
And every artist will put their spin on it, but you know, you want it to be fairly consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Bumblebee looks like a viper. Get over it. But some of the artists aren't getting over it, it seems. I think, Jeremy, you need to remember that because this is a reboot, we don't know what's going to happen to Bumblebee, whether he's going to stay with the group or not.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see Hasbro allowing them be a Bumblebee that's a Decepticon for any long term.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe this completely does away with just the two factions and there's multiple.
Right.
But he will be, at the very least, neutral good, you know, when all this shakes out.
I mean, the first scene where the Sideswipe and everybody came on the hover car.
Mm-hmm.
The book is called Transformers. Windblade should be flying. somebody else can drive the hover car if the equipment is necessary, but I didn't see it come into use at all.
I mean, you saw a Sideswipe pulling guns out.
Yeah, but I mean, nothing came of it. I mean, it was busy work, and you know, I mean, it was cool to see the one bot transform. I don't know. I'm really trying not to be an old school dick about this, but like at this point. Okay, you got this shit going on. Let's take an issue or two and let's talk about some other Transformers and do something compelling to bring me back into this. Like let's go to some other part of Cybertron. Let's talk about, because there's tons of bots we haven't seen from yet. Let's start a story to bring me back into it, because
I've got something for you, Yoshi. It's called Transformers Galaxies.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yeah, but I can agree with that. It would be nice to really kind of expand it a bit. I mean, we're basically seeing everything in like one city on Cybertron. Cybertron's a big planet. This is something we've had problems with forever with Transformers. If you're going to do bi-monthly, have like 1 week be focused on one city and then 1 week focus on another city and have like some of the other factions in that other city.
But that's just not the way the story is written right yet. You know, yeah. I mean, it's written as this epic tale. And paced slowly.
It's paced like a novel.
I want to take epic back. It's paced. It's written as a fucking political thriller. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, you gotta understand where the fan base is coming from and write a story to get them into this idea. And we didn't get that. We just went right from the old series to. Now you're in the middle of a political thriller, like, you know, John Grisham, eat your heart out. I need a stepping stone into this type of story, or write the story remembering that, you know, the people that are buying this are coming from a history of Transformers that's not this, I guess. And, you know, I sound like a brokered record, and we're editing it, and I mean this in all seriously, cut out my shit here. I just... write a story that justifies the price tag. I don't feel like this is a bad example, I think, because I'm listening to you guys loving what happened and I really truly struggled with it. But previously, it just didn't feel like anything was concluded in any issue. Like you have to buy all six issues to feel like you got anywhere. And, you know, that's a lot of money in comic book talk, especially when you compare it to like a paperback novel. Like, Give me something I'm excited about. Like, man, this was great. I can't wait to see what happens in the next one and feel like I got my money's worth. We're just not there yet. Will we be? I don't know. Is this the nature of political intrigue? Is this just how you write it?
We've had political intrigue before. I think this is just a novelist that is trying to write comics and doesn't have the pacing down. And it's probably bad luck for us that his first experience in comics is the books that we're covering.
And I don't ding the writer on that, but why did IDW go this route then? I mean, is it because?
Well, I mean, they're interesting ideas. Like I've said, it's just, you know, you never know the execution until it's done. I mean, in my idea, this is even worse than writing for the trade, because the first trade would be those first six issues that nothing happened. You know, you're going to have to get like three or four trades to get the entire story and be satisfied. And that's just, like you said, that's a lot of money.
They already announced the first trade is going to be the first 12 issues, not the first six issues. So clearly they know that the complete story is taking a long time.
Do they know that? I mean, we're a small slice of the reading pie here, but are other people this frustrated? I mean, is it, how does the pitch for this go that they're like, this is a great idea, let's turn it into a book? Or why didn't they take a little bit longer to massage out the writing so it, you feel good, or not good, but you feel entertained with each issue? Like, cause it's not that. And I wonder, having never submitted a story idea or anything like that, like, how does it get here? Like, how did IDW get to this point? And this is nothing against the writer or the artist. I'm just curious. Like, maybe after 12 issues, we'll be like, oh, that was fucking ingenious. But I'm not seeing it from issue 9.
I don't know. I mean, for me, this is an improvement. So if the issue continues to pick up the pace, if the comic continues to pick up the pace the next three issues, right, I'll be happy with where we are. But I think the first impression for the comic for the last eight issues was not great.
You know, and I mean, when, again, I don't know how many people are loving this book. I don't know how many people are liking this book or hating this book. And I don't know how many people are buying this book. But let's assume our little slice of the pie here represents the purchasing public in a whole or a general. Like, at what point do they pull the plug, too? Like, is it 12 issues? Like, you know what? We gave it a year, guys.
Well, 12 issues is 6 months right now.
Huh?
They're shipping twice a week, so that'd be 6 months.
Right.
I mean, I think there is, I mean, at least from other reviews that I've read, there is a similar frustration. Like, you can go to Sabertron or Allspark or T-Formers and look at the reviews there, and you'll see similar complaints. I think 12 issues is too long. I mean, you need to hook people in the first, I would say, two or three issues. I think people are ready to drop a book after two or three issues.
I've dropped a book after two or three pages.
Yeah, I mean, these days, comics have so many other things that they're competing against now that you really have to be more aggressive in trying to hook the reader.
Yeah.
So. You know, Galaxies may save this thing. You could be entirely right, Charles. And unfortunately, good or horrible, I'm going to buy the crap out of 84, which doesn't help as far as, is it a good book or not to the publisher? But yeah, like, I don't know. As a reboot, like, okay, great. Throw in your Windblade, throw in your designs, your change designs, but stick with it. Don't, I don't know. I also find it hard to believe that a race of sentient transforming robots transforms so little.
Yeah, that's definitely something I think could be improved. I mean, like you said, Windblade should be flying on their trip to the.
Yeah, they threw her underground. Yeah. Like, that's what you do with a flyer.
I mean,
you throw her underground.
Also, if we have Six Shot as the main antagonist, he should be transforming all over the place. Like, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He should. Wolf mode.
I mean, that should be how he fights.
Yeah, the wolf should pounce on her back, then he transforms to a tank and blasts her, then he like flies overhead and strafes her, and you know, that would be cool. I mean, that also might that might be tougher on the artist too, but yeah, that.
Here is the funnest piece of advice I can give the writer. Go play Transformers Devastation for 5 minutes and then come back and start typing. Why would you not send Sideswipe into this cavern? Why and have fucking Windblade just doing circles above, keeping everybody at bay?
Yep. All right. Well, that is our review of Transformers number 9. So we will continue on to Transformers Media News. Okay, so not a whole lot of media news this week, just a little tidbit from San Diego Comic-Con. So at the Hasbro panel, they did take a moment to talk a little bit about Cyberverse Season 2, Transformers Cyberverse. They showed a clip. I don't think the video's online yet, or at the time we record this, we couldn't find it online. But we did get a description of what was in it from the AllSpark, the Transformers site. So they had someone there to watch it. And they mentioned that Cheetor is there, and he's telling Optimus Prime and Megatron that they need to claim their armor. So the, you know, the whole gimmick for the Cyberverse toys is coming into the show. And Starscream and Skybite are fighting Jetfire also in the in this clip. So looks like it's going to be at least it's it feels like we're going to get more, we're going to expand on the characters in season two. Like season one was very heavily focused on Bumblebee and Windblade, but now with season two, we've got all the characters, opening up and getting out of the toy box. So, and this armor, upgrade thing, I guess, is going to figure pretty heavily into the storyline. So I'm looking forward to it. I enjoyed Cyberverse season one, so I'm looking forward to season two. So that should be coming this fall. All right, so that's all the media news, so let's move on to some transforming pop culture. So this was an interesting thing because I think we've all seen the homemade custom costumes that that people have made for their kids. Like we saw there's a group of kids who go to like all the shows and they're wearing these costumes that automatically transform. They're like the cutest little kids. There's an Optimus Prime. There's a Bumblebee. There's a Starscream. And when they lie down on the ground, their costume changes into their vehicle mode. These videos of, they've gone viral on Facebook, and they're at the conventions. We saw them at TFCon last week. So now Hasbro wants to get into the game with some officially licensed versions of this. So we've got now an officially licensed version of this Bumblebee that transforms. I think whoever designed this costume needs to pay these people who are the fans who actually did the original ones, because this is mm-hmm. this is taken right out of that what they did there. So. You can see there's a little promo video where they show a kid going on Halloween and he comes as Bumblebee. He knocks on the door to get candy. Then he transforms into the Bumblebee car mode and knocks on the door again. So he gets candy twice because he's got two modes.
That was a clever video.
That is.
I'll give him that. That was a clever video.
But, yeah. So, I mean, this is a better, costume that, you know, the costumes that we got as kids were always like, it's just a shirt with the character's face on the chest.
It was essentially a plastic bag with the character's face.
So this is definitely putting a little bit more thought into the version, even though this is totally stolen from the fans who thought of this first. But yeah, you can pick this up at the disguise.com. I don't see a price yet.
Yeah, they don't have a price posted.
But, yeah.
I was planning on trying to do make one of these type of costumes for my kid for Halloween. I'm probably still going to try to do it. We'll see how bad it turns out. But nice to know there's an alternative.
All right. Well, that is Transformers bleeding into pop culture. So let's finish up the show with convention news.
All right. Sticking on the Bumblebee train here, TFCon has announced that Dan Gilvezan is going to be attending TFCon DC 2019. He was the voice of G1 Bumblebee, among other things like Spider-Man and countless other characters of our childhood. And he also has a book, Bumblebee and Me.
Fantastic book.
Yeah, it's a great short read, but he'll, I'm sure he'll have some and he'll autograph them, you know, for a price, of course. But he's always a great person to have. His panels are always funny. So, looking forward to seeing him there.
He was the auctioneer at the charity auction a few years ago at TFCon Toronto.
Yeah.
This convention could be the first opportunity to get your Hallmark Bumblebee ornament signed.
Ah, there you go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's some good thinking, Yoshi.
You know, I am sitting on my butt.
But that is it for convention news. I guess also to mention this weekend is CybFest Northwest in Washington State. So if you are going to be going there.
So is Quattro. So you can meet Quattro.
Yeah. Yes. Send us a note. Let us know how it was. We'd love to have feedback about that. And yeah, that is it for convention news.
I'd like to say Yoshi will be there. I'd like to say that.
You know, believe it or not, I can't confirm either, but I'm still trying to pull that and make that work. And we can talk more about that offline, but I'm still trying.
If you do confirm during the week, tweet it out on social media so people know.
Okay. I'll use the transmissions account.
Yes, do that.
And I'll let Quattro know.
That's the important thing.
That is the important thing.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.